conference, for those of you that haven't been here, I understand that there are CDs. If you want to get those, you can listen. But I do want to just emphasize the bottom line of the deception that's going on right now, right in front of our eyes. This new worldview, this idea that we are divine, that we are a part of God. Yesterday I went through a lot of scriptures in the Bible that make it very clear that we are not God. The Holy Spirit is sent to us when we accept the Lord, but we are not inherently divine. We don't have the Holy Spirit in us before we're saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My wife and I learned that. We were involved in the New Age movement in California. I know a lot of jokes are made about California, but what we were doing years ago in California that people kind of laughed about is now being broadcast around the world by people like Oprah Winfrey. I mentioned yesterday that Oprah Winfrey calls herself a Christian, but yet she endorses and promotes a set of teachings called A Course in Miracles. A Course in Miracles is reputedly new revelation from Jesus Christ to today's church to help us get out of the mess that we're in. One of the things that he said is that a slain Christ has no meaning. Check that out. The journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. Do not make the pathetic error of clinging to the old rugged cross. Keep that in mind when Oprah calls herself a Christian and people like T.D. Jakes are encouraging her to pronounce her Christian faith. I'm not saying this to put Oprah down. I'm just saying you need to know the Christianity that she's pronouncing is the New Age Christianity that we were involved in. When Charlie was reading from the Bible this morning and talking about the oppression that can come from being in a world that's going another direction, a scripture came to my mind that I just want to share with you because it's helped me a lot in my life, and we've shared it a lot. My wife and I ran homeless programs in Northern California. I was a social worker most of my life, just been doing this the last maybe 6-7 years. The scripture is in Isaiah 38:14. Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. It's a wonderful prayer. It basically just says, Lord, I'm not doing very good. I'm not feeling well. The world is kind of oppressive. I'm down on myself. Could you please take over and undertake for me? And he does. And he's faithful to do that. We can't do it by ourselves. I mentioned that I went out to California years ago when I got out of the service. I was in the Vietnam era. Went out to California to find myself, and when I did, I knew I was really in trouble. But then the New Age, the devil reaches out, especially to hurting, wounded people. It's like, you know, in Africa, you know, the pack of animals, you know, the gazelle that are running through the desert, and the weak one is the one that the lion or the wolf grabs onto. So we have to be careful because some of the teachers out there that have a history of, you know, being wounded, being through a lot of illnesses and stuff, we're sympathetic, but it doesn't mean that what they're saying is true. It doesn't mean what they're saying is something that we should believe. And, you know, I'm of the era, you know, back in the 60s when Bob Dylan sang, "Don't follow leaders, watch your parking meters." It's like you got to be really careful about who you follow these days. And what we're watching is that a lot of people who have had a reputation for being Bible teachers, good ones, are now going astray. And if you're just following somebody because they were a good Bible teacher, you can be led off into, for instance, with Beth Moore. She's, for all intents and purposes, a very good Bible teacher, but she's very involved with the contemplative prayer movement and is appearing with people like Richard Foster and others that are taking the church into contemplative prayer, which is to be silent and to wait and to hear what God would tell you with no warnings about the seducing spirits that Paul warns about in 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. What do you think that voice that came to the woman who channeled A Course in Miracles that Oprah's now promoting that said he was Jesus? It was a seducing spirit, a familiar spirit. These are popping up all over the place. The thing that we've been emphasizing is that most of these teachers, I have yet, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but there was nothing on the Be Still video that Beth Moore was on with Richard Foster warning people about testing the spirits, what your pastor just told you. You have to test the spirits. You can't just assume because you're a Christian and you're sitting there and you're meditating on Scripture that if a voice comes, that it's the Lord. I have a friend in Oregon who fasted for 3 days, went to a Christian retreat in a valley there, and he wanted to know what kind of a ministry the Lord would have for him. So he prayed and he said, "Lord, you know, what ministry would you have for me?" And he heard, "You're going to be a healer." And that was exactly what he wanted to do. His heart was joyful at hearing that. Then he heard it again. "You're going to be a healer." And he said, "Well, yes, Lord, with you working through me." When he heard it the third time, the hair stood up on his arm. He realized it was a familiar, deceptive, seducing spirit. He rebuked it and it left. That's after he fasted 3 days. He's a good believer. Been in the faith for a number of years. We're getting to the stage where we're not getting the full counsel of God. We're hearing a lot of people that are doing crusades, purpose-driven, whatever, but we're not hearing about the seriousness of the challenge of the battle that's going on. Rick Warren calls the New Age a bunch of baloney. Believe me, what Oprah Winfrey is agreeing to, that a slain Christ has no meaning, that there's no sin, no devil, that's not a bunch of baloney. That's the Antichrist. And Chuck Smith, back in 1976, in his book about the Antichrist coming and conditioning the world, said just that. The world is being conditioned, Chuck said, back in 1976, for the Antichrist. That was how many years ago? So can you imagine what's going on today? It's in the advertisements that you'll see on television. Just little things like Michelin tires, a better way forward. Okay, it just flies by you. It doesn't mean much. When you put together Dodge Dart, the new rules, or Verizon, you have a powerful force within you. You have your own signal, rule the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? It goes on and on. You've heard of AT&T, rethink possible. Or BMW, rethink impossible. Okay, this may sound strange. It's part of the conditioning process, because what the world is being told is there's a better way. The Christian way was good in its time, but one of the men that channels God, Neil Donald Walsh, is hailed by Oprah Winfrey as one of the 10 most influential people that she's ever met. And this man says that God told him that the era of the single Savior is over. We are now into co-creation. Co-creation means because we are God, we create with God, and we create whatever future we want. We're not co-creators with God. That's really clear in the Scripture. But what the world's being told is that there's an alternative to Armageddon. Do you think there's an alternative to Armageddon? Or did Jesus say in Revelation 1 that what I'm telling you is prophecy? It's going to happen someday. We're being told by Christian leaders today that Armageddon doesn't have to happen. If we can adopt a new worldview, a fresh way of looking at the faith, there's another word that you catch all the time, subway, think fresh. What does fresh mean? To reinvigorate something that's old and that needs a little bit of life. You can take some of the old, they say, but you need something new to invigorate it. They feel that they have a much more magnificent way of looking at the faith. This is a quote. One of the men that's meeting with Christian leaders at the highest level, a man by the name of Leonard Sweet, in his book Soul Tsunami, that's endorsed by Rick Warren on the front cover, he says, to survive in the postmodern culture, you need to learn to speak out of both sides of your mouth. He says that right in his book. They're telling you, double speak. Paul called it double-tongued. David talked in Psalm 12 about those with a double heart. James talked about those, not our James here, but James in the Bible talked about those with a double mind. Jesus said, you draw nigh to me with your lips and your mouth, but your hearts are far from me. You can't just take people at their, to say that I'm a Christian today doesn't really mean a whole lot. To say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior doesn't mean a whole lot if they're then contradicting that by the things that they're doing and saying. So it's very, very serious what's going on, but yet Christian leaders seem to have this agreement, many of them. Obviously, you're all in a church here where you've got a pastor that's paying attention to these things. Not too many people have really invited Carol and me and Ray and Greg and others to come and speak at their church because, you know, people get upset. I'm going to tell you today about a book called Jesus Calling that is the number one book in the country right now. I mean, in the Christian bookstores right now, and it's like number 25 in the country of all books. How many of you are familiar with the book Jesus Calling or have heard of it? Quite a few of you. How many of you have been reading it as a devotional? Okay. Thanks for your honesty, because obviously I'm about to offer some considerations. Number one Christian book in the country right now. It has sold 9 million copies. It's in 26 different languages. It has sold 200,000 apps. And Sarah Young, the author, is saying that the book is comprised of messages that she received from Jesus Christ. I hope that any of you that are reading the book stop to kind of go, okay, she's saying she heard from Jesus, but how do we know? Now, in 2 Corinthians 11:4, right above that, Paul warns about deception, and he's concerned about that Corinthian church. And he talks about just as Eve was deceived by the serpent, he's fearful that they're going to be deceived. And he talks about the simplicity in Christ. Well, there's a simplicity in the deception. And the simplicity is simply this. God is in everyone and everything. That's the deception. That's the new worldview that can change everything according to the false teachers. If we can just kind of put aside divisive doctrines like what? Like Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins, defeating the devil, sin and death on the cross. That kind of bothers people. And Jesus said it would. You remember Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. Have you heard that on the radio lately? They called me Beelzebub or Satan, they're going to call you Satan. Do you know that New Age leaders right now are saying that the only thing satanic is not believing in your own divinity? That's confirmation of what Isaiah said when he said they're going to call good evil and evil good. Everything's upside down. Hey, we're in trouble. I mean, financially, economically, politically, spiritually, you know, people are reaching out all over. We need to come up with something that where we can get world peace. What did Daniel say? He said about Antichrist, he said, by peace he shall destroy many. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 5:30-31, he said, a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. Oprah Winfrey does a lot of wonderful things. I think she's probably as sincere as we were when we were in the New Age and believing in the teachings of A Course in Miracles and people like Neil Donald Walsh who are channeling God. She has done more to bring the New Age to the world than any other single person. I hope you're praying for her. I need to remember to pray for her diligently myself. It's dangerous what we did. It's dangerous what she's doing. But she's doing it on a massive scale, and the world is being conditioned, Chuck said back in 1976. So let's take a look at another Jesus calling. But I do want to go back to 2 Corinthians 11, first of all, and say, Paul said, let's go to that right now. Let's go to, if you have your Bibles with you, 2 Corinthians 11:4. I know people have different versions and stuff, but I think that it should be pretty clear. 2 Corinthians 11:4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You might just go along with it. Well, we did. We thought that the Jesus of A Course in Miracles was the real Jesus. We didn't really know the Bible. When a book like Jesus Calling comes, you need to look at it pretty carefully because there's so much deception out there. You want to make sure that this is really Jesus, because all it takes, Galatians 5:9, is a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. And I would suggest that on page 199 of Jesus Calling, when he says to Sarah Young, and she writes it down in her book, I am above all and in all. Right there, that should be enough for you to realize that that is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not in everything. It just slips in there. Now, it so happens in this book, there are many other things, I think, that indicate that this is not Jesus Christ. But that's all it should take right there. If you believe that a little leaven leavens the whole lump, which you should because it's in the Scripture, then that's enough. You close the book and you go, you know what? I don't care how much good is in this book. It's kind of like some of the Bible teachers out there. It doesn't matter how much good they're doing. If they're lined up with Rick Warren and his purpose-driven church, you better be on alert. Because Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life said, God rules everything. He's quoting Ephesians 4:6 from a new version of the Bible. He says, God rules everything, is everywhere, and is in everything. There's other tip-offs in Rick Warren's book that I mentioned yesterday. He introduces hope and purpose by quoting a New Age doctor by the name of Bernie Siegel, who has a spirit guide named George. Paul introduced hope by saying Jesus is our hope. When I read The Purpose-Driven Life, I felt convicted to write my book Deceived on Purpose. Unbeknownst to me, a pastor in the Midwest called me one day after my book had come out, and he said, Warren, he says, my name's Dwight Doval. I'm a pastor of Calvary Chapel in Appleton, Wisconsin. He said, I just wanted you to know that Chuck Smith read your book Deceived on Purpose. I said, well, good. What did he think? He said he really liked it. He gave me permission to send it to a whole lot of Calvary Chapel pastors. Then later, I was asked by Chuck. He called me and had me come to Costa Mesa to warn the people about how the New Age was coming into the church and about Saddleback and Rick Warren's teachings because they were heavily tied in with Robert Schuller. I was on the radio with Chuck. A call came in. Somebody asked a question about Saddleback Church and about Rick Warren. Chuck's answer was, and he took the question, he said, read Warren Smith's book, Deceived on Purpose. Right now, we're watching an attempt by Calvary Chapel headquarters to completely revise that whole scene. Chuck Smith, he knew that what was in The Purpose-Driven Life had some real serious problems. And he made it clear by having me not only come there, but to come to the pastor's conference that year and to openly talk about it. At Chuck's memorial service, on stage were a lot of old-time Calvary Chapel pastors. And right in the middle of them was Rick Warren sitting on stage. This is what's going on with the Christian faith. Let's not just look at that. The Christian faith is being revised. We need new revelation. We need new information from God, from Jesus, and yes, from the spirit world. We have a pastor in Nashville, Tennessee, whose son died a tragic death, and now he's saying that his son is communicating with him, his wife, and his church from the dead. Steve Berger, Have Heart, he was one of the endorsees of the Shack. Did you know the Shacks? Jesus said, God, who is the ground of all being, dwells in and around and through all things. That's enough to shut up the Shack right there. This stuff is sneaking in. We've underestimated the devil's devices. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices, but we are. You have the blessing of having a pastor who's bringing these devices to your attention. The full counsel of God is being preached in this church. If you look carefully through just the New Testament, warning after warning after warning about deception, about grievous wolves, about blind guides, about whited sepulchres that have dead men's bones inside, hypocrites who speak out of both sides of the mouth. We even have people like Leonard Sweet who's telling you he's speaking out of both sides of his mouth. It's hidden in plain sight. It's so obvious we don't pay attention to it. A Better Way Forward, Michelin Tires. How about the movie Field of Dreams? Until I heard the voice, I had never done a crazy thing in my life, says Kevin Costner, the hero, the farmer who builds the baseball park. And the baseball park that does what? Brings back the Chicago Black Sox from where? From the dead. If you build it, he will come. conditioning process. It's been going on for years. We've been watching it. People think that the New Age went away with Shirley MacLaine. It never left. It grew exponentially, and Shirley MacLaine was on Oprah's last show at the end of 25 years, and they mutually congratulated each other on how far everything had come. Oprah thanking Shirley for the influence that she'd had on Oprah's life. Shirley thanking Oprah for the influence that Oprah has had on everybody else. If you build it, he will come. IBM, let's build a smarter planet. Smartphones, smart meters, smart TVs. You know what we're going to have in the future? A smart theology. A smart theology that says God is in everyone and everything. I was on my way to a conference in northern Alberta earlier this year, and I had spent about a month preparing my messages. I've got all five messages that I did up there on the DVD that's on my table called Discerning the Signs. One of the ones that's on that DVD, I hadn't planned on doing. But one of the women from the conference called me just a day or two before I left and said, Warren, what do you know about the book Jesus Calling? I said, well, not much. I've seen it in Costco, and I know it's got some problems, but I haven't really paid that much attention to it. She said, well, we're really concerned, and could you help us with that? So I went to the Christian bookstore in our city there, and it was piled high on the floor. And I'll just read to you. I have a book called Another Jesus Calling, How False Christs Are Entering the Church Through Contemplative Prayer. It's going to be out in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm reading from just the proof here. I'll just read you what I wrote about when I walked into that bookstore. I noticed that Jesus Calling came in a variety of sizes and styles. There was a standard compact rust-colored hardcover edition that I held in my hands. A small egg-shaped picture of an inviting outstretched hand was in the middle of the front cover. The title read, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace in His Presence. A line at the top of the front cover read, Devotions for Every Day of the Year. Another edition of the same book had what was called a leather look, while another had a genuine cowhide cover. There was a sage-colored version, a pink-colored version, a special edition for teens, as well as Jesus Calling Bible Storybook for Children. Prominently featured on the display rack were numerous copies of the Jesus Calling Devotional Bible. Off to my left were more Sarah Young titles, Dear Jesus, Jesus Today, and Jesus Lives. I would later discover there was a 40 Days with Jesus booklet and a Jesus Calling Devotional Calendar. The copy of Jesus Calling I was holding in my hands informed me that the book was now available for the iPhone, iPod Touch, iPad, and all Android devices. It was also available on audio CD. When I asked the clerk how many copies of Jesus Calling they'd sold, he replied, thousands. I said, really? He said, really. Sarah Young is a publishing industry with Thomas Nelson. The question is the Jesus of Jesus Calling the real Jesus? Some of you guys that have been around, some of you people may have been around a really long time. There was a show when I was a kid called To Tell the Truth. And they would have three people. And one would say, my name is Jesus Christ. And the next one would say, my name is Jesus Christ. And the third one would say the same. And they would answer questions, but the real Jesus had to answer honestly. The other ones could say whatever they wanted. And then at the end, they'd say, would the real Jesus please stand up? That's kind of what we're doing these days. We need to make sure that the Jesus that we're listening to is the real Jesus Christ. Number one best-selling book right now. You go online, number one Christian book right now. And it's in the top 25 of all books, secular and Christian, in the country. It might be a good idea for you to be aware of this book. I gave a talk several years ago in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. And one of the men that was preaching that day said that after I had talked about the shack, he drove off from the conference and he said, what is this guy Warren Smith doing at this conference? Who cares about the shack? What does that have to do with, you know, the gospel and evangelizing? He got home and his mother was reading The Shack. I suggest that you already are aware of this book. Many of you have friends that are reading this book. If you don't know anything about it today, you're going to hear about it. It's the number one book. And Apostle Paul said, we're not to be ignorant of our enemy's devices. But I need to tell you more than just the fact that the Jesus of this Jesus Calling said that, I am above all and in all. I'll just kind of put it this way. When when I went online this morning here in El Paso, my email provider said, you're in a distant location. We need to check and make sure who you are. Okay? Same thing happens when I use a credit card. Sometimes they won't honor it. They'll say, you know, we want to make sure it's you. We should not have to have a problem with checking this Jesus out. We're not being rude. We're not doing any offense to Jesus. I mean, the Bible says we're to test the spirits. All those testing, all those warnings are given to believers. We're talking, I believe, with Oprah Winfrey, A Course in Miracles, and what we were involved in, of a clear case of identity theft. And I would suggest that Jesus' calling is a clear case, so clear that I wrote a book about it, to try to make it clear to other people that we have a case of identity theft going on here in the church. If this Jesus is not the real Jesus, then we have a false Christ in the church. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew 24. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Sarah Young came to the Lord in this way. These are her words at the introduction of her book. She was in Le Brie in France, which is run by Francis and Edith Schaeffer years ago. One night I found myself leaving the warmth of our cozy chalet to walk alone in the snowy mountains. I went into a deeply wooded area, feeling vulnerable and awed by cold, moonlit beauty. The air was crisp and dry, piercing to inhale. Suddenly I felt as if a warm mist enveloped me. I became aware of a lovely presence. The word presence appears more than 365 times in her book, with a capital P. And my involuntary response was to whisper, Sweet Jesus. This utterance was totally uncharacteristic of me, and I was shocked to hear myself speaking so tenderly to Jesus. As I pondered this brief communication, I realized it was the response of a converted heart. Is that how you came to the Lord? A warm presence that felt really good, and you just, it must be Jesus, sweet Jesus. I was converted. That should put you on alert right there. A lot of us don't read the introductions, but maybe we need to. This was far more than the intellectual answers for which I'd been searching. This was a relationship with the creator of the universe. It's also so dangerous to just assume those things. I don't know what her background was, but this is not the way you come to the Lord. You come to the Lord with conviction, from preaching, from the Word of God, you know, understanding of what He did on the cross of Calvary. None of that. It was just an experience. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with experience trumping the Word of God. Are you hearing the voice of Jesus? You're not? You're not? Huh. I mean, that's the pressure that's being put on people. Excuse me. Bill Hybels. Whisper. Hearing the voice of God and having the guts to respond. That's intimidation. You better hear the voice of God. I mentioned yesterday in San Francisco, late at night, when I couldn't find a place to eat, I'd go to Jack in the Box. I'd pull up to the metallic machine, and it would say, Jack will speak to you now. This is kind of what we're being told. Repeat a scripture. Carol showed a clip last night with Beth Moore, John Piper, was it Francis Chan in there too? And Louis Giglio, encouraging a hockey stadium or a basketball stadium full of people, reading things like, be still and know that I am God. That's what we did in the New Age. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. That's the same. But it was riddled in the New Age. It's in the Course in Miracles right before the passage that says the journey to the cross should be the last useless journey. But there's no warnings about this, and everybody's being told by this group, what's God telling you? And there was a story of a woman outside who was just brokenhearted and distraught because she didn't hear anything. God protected her. You better test the spirits. These people are taking advantage of the good name that they've established through their ministries, and they're now bringing in contemplative prayer. Ray Youngin, who's been researching for years, one of the speakers here. I knew Ray. I knew he was researching the New Age. And a newsletter came out, and it said that Ray Youngin had a new book on contemplative prayer. And I told my wife, I said, oh, what a shame, you know, that Ray's going off on some kind of a side tangent. No, Ray was right on the button. And, you know, his book, A Time of Departing, is a wonderful exposition on the dangers that come from contemplative prayer. It overlaps with mystical Catholicism, with the mystical New Age. It's just being put out to the church like it was just the most wonderful thing in the world. It's part of the conditioning process. A year later, Sarah Young said, "I knelt beside the bed in that sterile room. I felt an overwhelming presence of peace and love come over me. I knew Jesus was with me. I knew. How does she know? I knew that Jesus was with me and that he sympathized with my heartache. This was unquestionably the same sweet Jesus I met in the Alps." We don't have any evidence at all. She has had an experience that many of us have in the New Age. I guess it could be Jesus, but we can't just say, "I knew unquestionably." I then noticed that Sarah Young said that she had read a book called God Calling. It was written in the 1930s by two women who listened to the quote-unquote living Christ and wrote down what he said. We had this book when we were in the New Age. It says, the Jesus of the God Calling says, "I am at the center of every man's being. I am in your soul." No. The Jesus of God Calling said, "I need you more than you need me." Is that our Jesus Christ? Does he need us more than we need him? I don't think so. I wrote down 10 concerns about God Calling, including those two. But the emphasis was on spiritual experience. What the women said was, "Wow, we were so privileged." I'm paraphrasing here. "Wow, we were so privileged that we were getting direct information while other people had to rely on the Bible and preachers and things like that. We were getting a direct experience." That's what's happening right now with contemplative prayer. She said, "My journey began with a devotional book, God Calling, written in the 1930s by the women I just..." This book is the Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs, published by Harvest House back in the 90s, written by John Ankerberg and John Weldon. In their chapter on channeling, they expose God Calling as a channeled New Age book, replete with all sorts of perversions of the Bible. This book is no longer found at Harvest House. You can't find it anywhere. They discontinued it, as they did Dave Hunt's books, as they did Johanna Michelson's book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. The warnings are disappearing, folks. You have to have the Bible in your hearts. You have to listen to the warnings that come, however God delivers them. Sarah Young, right there, by saying that God Calling was, quote, "a treasure to me." A treasure to me. You will now find God Calling featured next to Jesus Calling in most or a lot of Christian bookstores. God Calling has been put into a deluxe edition, beautifully done. They've also added lyrics from hymns and scriptures to embellish it. You cannot embellish, "I am at the center of every man's soul, I need you more than you need me," and a lot of the other things. There are a lot of New Age language that's in that book. The conditioning, the overlapping. So that didn't happen. It's permeated with New Age theology, God Calling is. The God Calling Jesus talks about his universal spirit. He says, "It's only the work of the universal spirit, my spirit, that counts. Remember that truth is many-sided." Do we have a many-sided Lord? No. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many-sided means, well, come on in Buddhists, you know, come on in Hindus, you know, hey, you love me, you talk about, I hear you talking about my name out there. I mean, the gurus talked about Jesus, you know, Carol talked about that. The name Jesus doesn't mean anything unless it's the true Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. Johanna Michelson had a spirit guide. Johanna Michelson's a Christian believer who was involved with heavy-duty occult stuff after she was a believer because she didn't know the Bible. She went into her meditation laboratory and she had a spirit guide. She thought it was the real Jesus. His name was Jesus Christ. She went to Labrie in Switzerland, same group that Sarah Young went to, was challenged by her sister and others to see if she was deceived. She prayed, James 1:5, asking wisdom from God. God will give us wisdom, but he doesn't promise us that he's going to arrive and give you a good feeling and reward you with special words because you recited a scripture and did what Beth Moore and these other people told you to do. God in everyone. Mentioned that one. God Calling's filled with name it and claim it teachings. See if you recognize some of this, where this stuff comes from. This Jesus in God calling says, I who could command a universe await the commands of my children. I saw Joel Osteen on TV this morning. He's declare. Not God's will be done. Lord, I'd really like another job, but maybe I'm wrong. You know, I want your will to be done. I don't want you to just reward me because I might not know what I'm doing. Command your Lord, he says. Command your Lord? Claim big, really big things now. Remember, nothing is too big. That's Norman Vincent Peale. That's Robert Shuler. That's the hyper-charismatic movement that, you know, name it and claim it. The one that really got me was to dwell in thought on the material when once you live in me is to call it into being. That's straight New Age. Experience replaces the Word of God. Okay, let's get to new truth and new revelation. That's the emphasis. I have new truths to give you. You just haven't been ready for them. But now I've got Christian leaders like Leonard Sweet and Rick Warren who are going to open the door through contemplative prayer and other things to help you understand what I really mean. You just didn't understand DNA. We didn't have the scientific understanding. And, gee, you wouldn't have understood it if I brought it back, you know, 2,000 years ago. Wrong. That's the quantum lie. The quantum leap into the new spirituality is the quantum lie that God is in everyone and everything. Leonard Sweet wrote a book called Quantum Spirituality. And in that book, he called people that we knew from the New Age his role models and his heroes. This man is talking to the highest levels of Christian leadership all the time. He was doing a conference in Saskatoon at a church when I was there this last year. New truth and new revelation. The misuse of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. Ken Blanchard, Rick Warren's appointee to do the lead like Jesus for his purpose-driven peace plan, recently endorsed Deepak Chopra, New Age leader Deepak Chopra's book on spiritual leadership, calling it a godsend. He said, Deepak Chopra really gets it. No, Ken Blanchard really doesn't get it. But maybe they do. I don't know. I can't judge. But I think they are refusing so many warnings from so many people that I believe they believe that the new worldview is what they want. They think they have a newer, better Christianity. All I can tell you is that when my wife and I came out of the New Age, the Bible read so clear. It was so powerful. When I read scripture out of Johanna Michelson's book in a bookstore, bringing this stuff to my attention for the first time, a homeless mentally ill guy that was on the street, I'd seen him there a couple days before, came into the store where I was reading the book, reading scripture, reading what deception's all about, and he started screaming at me, are you going to buy that book? What are you doing that book? And I just went, wow. You know, is evil real? Can evil bring a guy off the street to hassle me? And does evil want me to not read this book? And the answer was yes, yes, yes. I learned how to call upon Jesus. I watched darkness disappear. And believe me, there's a battle going on. Okay, let's just skip to, I'm going to go fairly quickly because I don't have a lot of time and I know there's parking considerations. Jesus' calling was inspired by a New Age book, God Calling. She called it a treasure to me. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Not a good thing for her to be saying. That's what inspired her to take messages from Jesus. No mention of testing the spirits. Jesus actually contradicts himself in the book. He says that my last words, this is Sarah Young's Jesus of Jesus called, my last words in Matthew 28 were, I am with you always before I ascended into heaven. No, the last words were in Acts 1. In Acts 1, when he was on the Mount of Olives, not on the Mount of Galilee with the disciples. Clear contradiction. Jesus doesn't contradict himself. He's the truth. And this will be really clear in the... I kept the book really simple so that if this affects you on a personal level or you have friends that are involved, you don't have to try to remember these things that I'm doing very quickly. Jesus, this one really gets me, Jesus of Jesus Calling says, the future is a phantom seeking to spook you. Laugh at the future. Laugh at the future? Is that what Jesus was telling us in Matthew 24 when he's talking about the end times? Watch and pray. Do not be deceived. Laugh at the future hooks up with A Course in Miracles, Jesus, who told us that the world ends in laughter, probably with Rodney Howard Brown and the rest of the Holy Laughter crew. Ha, 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 we were God all the time and we didn't even know it. Whoa, ho, ho. And now we've got world peace and we've got Christ with us, the many-sided Christ. I hope I'm making my point. This is coming in very quickly when it's the number one book. Here's a few flattering remarks from the Jesus of Jesus calling. See if this sounds like your Lord. When you trustingly whisper my name, my aching ears are soothed. When you walk through a day in trusting dependence on me, my aching heart is soothed. As you listen to birds calling to one another, hear also my love call to you. I'm aching to hold you in my everlasting arms, to enfold you in my love. Feel your face tingle as you bask in my love light. This is flattery. And in Proverbs, it says flattery causes ruin. It also says in Daniel that the Antichrist comes in how? By flatteries. What this book does, Jesus' calling, is that it appeals to all of us who are hurting in some way. It seems uplifting, but when you look at it more closely, it's just the devil giving you, hey, let me, oh man, you're really hurting. You've got cancer. He hits cancer victims. He doesn't care. Sarah Young, I have no reason to doubt her sincerity. I have no problem. It's just she's got this book that's just, this isn't Jesus. She's got Lyme's disease. She had melanoma. She's been through a lot of hard times. And I think God calling came to her and met her needs. And then she went, oh, well, I'd like to get some messages too. And now she's inviting readers to get their own messages. You see how dangerous this is? This one in my book, I had a big star and I just went, ugh. When your joy in me meets my joy in you, there are fireworks of heavenly ecstasy. That's like bad poetry. Okay, how about this one? Take time, this Jesus says, to rest with me by the wayside. Where's the wayside in the Bible? It's in the parable of the sower and the seed. That's where the devil takes the word of God out of people's hearts. There's mockery going on here. In another book that the previous God calling listeners, the two women did, called God at Eventide, it says, recall our meetings by the wayside. Come on, this is mockery, and God is not mocked. She visualizes, well, here, I'll just read exactly what she said. One morning as I prayed, I visualized God protecting each of us. I pictured first our daughter, then our son, then Steve encircled by God's protective presence, which looked like golden light. When I prayed for myself, I was suddenly enveloped in brilliant light and profound peace. I lost all sense of time as I experienced God's presence in his powerful way. That Encyclopedia of New Age Beliefs talks about visualization. We did it in the New Age. Richard Foster does it. You know, he has you go out of your body, go up and meet Jesus in his early edition of Spiritual Disciplines, and to listen to what Jesus would tell you. This book isn't just about every pastor's study, except probably Charlie's nuts. He's got it in the cult section. I lost all sense of time as I experienced God's presence in this powerful way. We're not to try to manipulate. We don't visualize Jesus. Johanna Michelson learned a really hard lesson because she did everything she was told, visualized Jesus, then boom, there's this Jesus spirit guide. But she thought it was Jesus Christ. How about this one? This is Jesus. Try to imagine what I gave up when I entered your world as a baby. I set aside my glory so that I could identify with mankind. I accepted the limitations of infancy under the most appalling conditions, a filthy stable. That was a dark night for me. My wife Joy said, I think it was a dark night for somebody else. For somebody else. I'm sorry, this is rewriting the Bible. This is extra-biblical. This is trying to change things. It's everything that Jesus warned us to watch out for. How about Abraham? Jesus of Jesus' calling says, remember the extreme measures I used with Abraham and Isaac. I took Isaac to the very point of death to free Abraham from son, S-O-N, worship. Both Abraham and Isaac suffered terribly because of the father's undisciplined emotions. I detest idolatry, even in the form of parental love. He just kind of knocked out Abraham. Folks, this is just, it's filled with stuff like this. I'm running out of time. I don't want to do any more, except I will tell you this. When I read that the Jesus of Jesus calling said that we're supposed to take the road less traveled, I couldn't believe it. That's M. Scott Peck, New Age Christian that was, you know, exposed all over the place years ago. Then he says, don't hesitate to go out on a limb with me. That's Shirley MacLaine. It's mockery. The devil is mocking a church that is following leaders like the ones on that DVD that Carol showed yesterday. They may have good intentions, but they're leading the flock astray. Jeremiah said it right. a wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and my people love to have it so. Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, told it like it was. And his word stands. It does not perish. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will not pass away. Eugene Peterson can sit in his Montana ranch and can rewrite the Bible and the Message, but I'm not buying it. Not when he's got as above, so below in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, which means, in occult language, God is in everyone and everything. Praise God for the fact that we have a dependable Bible, not one of the 150 that have come out lately, you know, that like the Voice with the emerging church saying that we're, you know, that Jesus is coming until the new age. Look it up on the internet, the Voice. 2 Peter, 3:18. He's coming until the new age. It's getting blatant, folks. Don't be ignorant of Satan's schemes. It's the best way that you can witness to your friends. Those people that you've been having a really hard time with, or Christians that are reading Jesus' calling, gently come up and just say, you know what? I heard this guy talking, and he made some points that, you know, I checked out, and they're actually pretty valid. Are you sure that this is Jesus Christ? No, can I just show you a few things? This is the way I think we're going to be witnessing. Heresies must come because it shows what side you're on. Let your yea be yea and your nay nay. But don't go following after iconic Bible teachers and Christian leaders. Charlie will be the first one. Measure everything that he says by the word of God. And he'll be the first one to say, thank you. I appreciate that, rather than being affronted because you're questioning them. I've heard people that have tried to approach a pastor who's into purpose-driven or some of these things. They've been trained to say, no, I don't want to hear it. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Paul said it's a shame we have to talk about these things, Ephesians 5, but he said we must. We must bring the dark things into the light. Pray for Sarah Young, because Johanna Michelson, she had a Jesus spirit guide, and she could have written a book about all the stuff she was doing, but her book was used to save our lives. If Sarah Young were to realize that she was deceived, she could be a powerful, powerful witness for the Lord. I'm not demeaning her in any way. I have nothing but respect for probably her attempt to do what she felt Jesus was telling her to do. And I'm sure Thomas Nelson and other people around her didn't question anything once the sales started zooming. 9 million books, number one Christian book in the country. You're not ignorant of anymore. You're responsible. Check out what I said. I'm going to send a book to this church. You know, put it in the library. You don't have to buy it, but check it out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. It's not many-sided. Thank you for warning us about these days. You said, behold, I have told you these things ahead of time. And you told us that you didn't tell us these things to intimidate us or to make us feel bad, but so that we wouldn't be offended when these things come. I thank the people that raised their hands that said they were reading Jesus' calling when they knew I was going to say some things that were critical of it. That's the kind of honesty that I think you really appreciate, because we make mistakes. I'd be the last one in the world that could ever talk about not being deceived. Wow. Channelers, psychics, gurus. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Keep saving us. Keep warning us about the things that are happening. And we just praise your holy name. And thank you for churches like this that are willing to look at the full counsel of God. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.